The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain.
Be still, my soul, I bless thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end.
Be still, my soul, my soul, my God,
as the coronavirus continues to bring sickness and death around the world. Let us pray for President Trump that the Lord will give him the special wisdom that he needs at this difficult time. Today we bring you the second part of the message, Help in Trouble. I realize that the economic fallout from this problem is severe. And so there may be some who would ordinarily want to help support this program, but just are not able. But if you're one who can assist us, I think it's important that we keep the broadcast on the air as a place where we can bring the good news of the gospel and words of encouragement from the scriptures. So if you can help us at this time, we certainly will be thankful for it. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. The text for this message is Psalm 46, beginning with the first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. We first talked about the source of trouble and the magnitude of this current crisis. But then we've gone on to talk about the source of help, that God Himself is our help, and He is able to help us in the most difficult of times. Psalm 62, verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. We're encouraged to pour out our heart. If you're troubled, whatever the situation may be, whatever it is that causes you worry or anxiety, pour out your heart before him. Go to the Lord. You say, well, he knows all about it. Yes, but he invites us and encourages us to come and pour out our hearts and just tell him exactly how you feel, what's troubling you. God is a refuge for us. He is willing to help. Oh, how sad when God's people sometimes struggle on in the darkness, trying to hold up under heavy burdens and fail to take it to the Lord. What joys are lost, what blessings are unclaimed because we haven't turned to him. You say, well, I feel so unworthy. Well, you are. We're all unworthy. We don't come to the Lord expecting to be blessed because we're entitled to a blessing and because we're worthy. We come to him as needy sinners, but come because he has encouraged us to come. He is willing to help. And the fact is, he has helped. You've got a testimony to know that this is not just some promise that might never have been fulfilled or might never be remembered. Psalm 46, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. Not just that he might be with us, he is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 61, verse 3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Lord, thou hast been my shelter. I've needed a strong tower. I've needed a place where I could go for help. Lord, thou hast been that shelter. Thou hast been that strong tower where I could find safety. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. So the people look back and say, in our lifetime, in the lifetime of our parents and our grandparents and those before, in all generations, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. And then that passage, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that gives us such encouragement. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. We need grace, and that's what's invited us to come, not to the bar of justice, but to the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy. That's what we need. We're not looking to be dealt with on the basis of justice. We'd be in deep trouble. We're looking for mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So whatever that need is, whatever that situation, whatever that time is, you come to him and you find grace to help in time of need. Can you not today say, he has helped me many, many times? Look back over your travels and days gone by. You may remember some days of sickness when you were in pain, when there was uncertainty about your condition. You didn't know what the outcome would be. But you turned to the Lord for his help, and he gave you a peace that passeth understanding. He blessed you ultimately to recover so that you can be up and going today. You think of some of those dark times when you were just cast down and struggling spiritually. You'd read the scriptures, but you weren't finding the comfort that you'd had at other times. You began to have questions, maybe even doubting your own salvation, and you were struggling in the darkness. But you turned to the Lord, and he helped you. And you can say, he has been my helper through all the days past. Well, then we think about the response to trouble. The text says, therefore, will not we fear? Over and over again throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're told repeatedly not to fear. Isaiah 35:4, say to them of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. And he goes on to say, the reason that you can give up fear is because the Lord is on his way to help you. He's coming to deliver you. Isaiah 41, we find the little cluster of fear nots here, beginning with the 10th verse. Fear not, I am with thee. Verse 13, fear not, I will help thee. Verse 14, fear not, I will help thee, saith the Lord. Fear not, over and over again, we're told not to be gripped by fear. And then the words of Jesus found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus is looking toward the cross. He knows he's soon going away. He's speaking words of comfort to his disciples. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus Christ speaks to you today through these words that he spoke long ago and recorded under divine inspiration. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So then we think specifically about how we should respond to some of the troubles that are being faced, the uncertainties that are being faced that might cause fear. So somebody says, well, I'm concerned. I may be cut back at my workplace. My hours be shortened. I don't know how I'm going to be able to make it. Or I might even lose my job. What's going to happen to me as I look down the way? I can't help but be concerned. Well, let's turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That's a pretty dark scene, isn't it? That's covering the whole spectrum as far as his day. It depended on the figs in many areas of life and on the olive oil. Instead of all this fails, and there's no herd in the stall, how am I going to respond? Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So he says, if the economy is bottoming out, everything is bleak, there is no harvest, it all looks dark, I'm going to yet rejoice in the Lord because he's my help. Now, this testimony does not deny there's a problem. He describes the problem. So he's not like somebody that sticks their head in the sand and pretends there are no problems. We're not calling on God's people to be unrealistic. You acknowledge there are problems to face. And Habakkuk describes them. But he says, in spite of the problem, I'm going to be trusting in God. He's not like the Stoic who just says, I'm going to keep a stiff upper lip. I'm going to dig my heels in. I'm not going to be shaken. That's all depending on self. No, he says, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Not in my circumstances, but in the Lord. Because the Lord is the source of his joy, his comfort, his peace. He is the one who can help him in the difficult times which he is describing. And then the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is giving us words of encouragement that should drive away any fear we would ever have concerning what we're going to do if we lose our job, if we're suffering financial setbacks, if the most difficult of times should come upon us, what's going to be the outcome? Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. I'm not talking about being careless and rejecting all plans for the future, but he's saying, don't worry. That's what he's talking about.
Take no thought. Don't give yourself over to worry about the future, as to what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I remember several years ago, there had been a heavy snowfall, been on the ground for a number of days. When I was leaving my house that morning, I noticed over to the side of the road a sizable bush or tree that I'd never even observed it before. The snow was all around it. The snow was covering part of it, but it was full of some kind of red berries. I never was able to find out exactly what it was. And it was full of birds. The birds just covered it up. I thought, here is a visible display of what Jesus said, that your heavenly Father even feeds the birds. The heavy snow covered everything else, but that tree full of those red berries was providing an adequate meal for a number of birds that morning. He says, are you not much better than they? You're of greater significance than the birds, so God will take care of you. Well, then somebody else says, well, I'm thinking about something even more serious. I've worked hard all my life. I've saved up money. I've tried to plan for the future. And I try to be conservative, but I put my money in the stock market and thought it'll be there when I need it. And with the gyrations in the market these last days, I don't know what the outcome's going to be. It's depressing to think about losing everything I've worked for all my life, or even the retirement benefits that a company might have planned to give could be lost if the market continues to go down. Where does that leave us? Not suggesting that you say, well, I just shrug it off. It's painful, no doubt about it. But for the child of God, he hadn't lost everything. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, you have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. If you lose everything here, everything in the stock market, you know, there's all kinds of theories people advance to promote scare tactics, and I've been getting this email several times recently that says there's a plan to take all of your savings out of your bank account. You better do something quick. Well, if you took it out, what are you going to do with it? So you don't know what the future holds. People panic over a lot of things, but if you lost everything in your retirement, if you lost everything you ever had in the stock market, if you lost everything that some insurance company would provide, if Social Security goes bankrupt, I'm telling you this, you're not wiped out, because as a child of God, you have an inheritance. It's incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. And you're going to get there on time to enjoy it, because you're being kept by the power of God. So this is not uncertainty. This is something that's absolutely sure. Well, somebody said, well, what if I get sick? What if I get this virus? Well, certainly we should take all of the precautions that are being recommended. If you get sick, you want to seek medical help. You don't want to expose yourself to other people. You would pray for recovery if you got sick, just like you would with any other kind of sickness. You pray, knowing that God is able to heal the sick. And you trust the Lord, because you know that with Him all things are possible. You would pray for others. You pray for others who might be sick, and others that have need. And if there's opportunity to help somebody that needs help, whether it's helping the person who is sick or helping the person who has lost their job or whatever, there ought to be concern about others. That's part of what Christianity is all about. Well, a person just prone to worry. I've had people who obviously had decided they had been a long-term worrier and they weren't planning to change. Just, that's me, I'm a worrier from way back. But worry is a sin. How can I overcome worry? The coronavirus is a concern, but it doesn't compare to the chaos that's described in the psalm we read about the mountains being carried into the sea. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. If you're troubled with fear and you're feeling anxious, you need to remember this. Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 28th verse. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that good to know? No matter what it is, life can sometimes be worse than death. If a person is in excruciating pain, they're in the most difficult of circumstances, but he says life, no matter what life brings, life cannot separate you, death cannot separate you. Angels, principalities, powers, things present, the coronavirus, no matter what happens in the future, none of these things can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So no matter what your situation is, no matter what you face today, what you may face in the future, what our nation faces today, what it may face in the future, for those who belong to the Lord by His sovereign grace, nothing, absolutely nothing. All the devils of hell might attack them, but nothing can separate them from the love of God which is given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, then somebody said, but what if I die? Well, life should be treasured. It's a precious gift. We ought to do everything we can to take care of our bodies, to take care of our health. It's a blessing that we have life, and God would have us to enjoy it. But if somebody says, well, I guess if I consider all that could happen, the worst thing I can think of is death. But this says death cannot separate us from the love of God. And the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. That ought to be our first and primary concern. I want to live in such a way that I'm exalting the name of Jesus Christ. To be able to say, He's my Lord, He's my Master, He's first, He's foremost in my life, for to me to live is Christ. And then he says in the same verse, and to die is gain. So for the child of God, somebody might say that's the worst thing that can happen. On the other hand, it's the best thing that can happen. Because Paul says to die is gain. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Think about that. I'm not saying that you ought to go around with a morbid outlook on life. We're to rejoice always in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Be thankful for life. It's God that gives us the life that we have, and we want to use every minute of it to His glory. But when the time comes to part this life, for the child of God, it's not a tragic ending. It's a glorious homecoming. Paul says to be absent from the body. Instantly, when the child of God dies, he goes into the presence of Jesus Christ. Whoa, what glory. What glory to anticipate. With all of the difficulties and the heavy burdens and the troubles and the struggles and the temptations of life, to think being at home in heaven,
No more sicknesses, no more sorrows, no more temptations, no viruses up there, but eternal joy and bliss in the presence of Jesus Christ, triumphantly singing his praise, "Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy own precious blood." What could be any better than that? To go home to be with the Lord. If we believe he is our refuge, a present help in trouble, we need not fear. We need not cave in to the panic that sometimes may surround us. But you know, only those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior can claim the blessing of this psalm. Those in Christ need not fear because God is their refuge. And they know their ultimate destination is to be at home with him and see Jesus Christ face to face. But without him, there is no refuge here and none hereafter. But today, if you are convicted of your sin and you are troubled because the thought of dying does trouble you, you can't have peace about it. You're troubled. You know you need help. You know you're a sinner. You know you do not stand acceptably in God's sight. You need help in your trouble. Well, I want to tell you about the one who is the great helper, the great Savior of sinners. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, to come to him and be able to say, "He is my help in trouble. He is my refuge. I trust in him."
How I love the great Redeemer who is doing so much for me. With the joy I tell the story of the love that makes men free. Till my earthly life is ended,
I will send
shall be praising Jesus and his love. He is everything to me, to me.
What peace and strength we gain when we turn to God's word and are reminded that he is a present help in the time of trouble. And to read the passage we looked at in Romans chapter 8, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God. And for the child of God, even when it comes to the end of the journey, to go home to be with the Lord is a bliss beyond what we can possibly imagine. Yes, the apostle says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you'd like to get this complete message on CD, request it when writing us. Till next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
Glory be to him forever. Endless praises to Christ the Lamb. He has filled my life with sunshine. He has made me what I am. Oh, that everyone would know him.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.
He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in his praise.
Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing of saving love.